Amen. Thank you so much, Pearson Quartet. And that was a blessing. Enjoyed that. That was good. And so true. There is room. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, there's room for you. There's room at the cross. Praise the Lord for that. I call your attention to our passage here and our text, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. The disciples have watched him do many great things. They've seen him feed thousands of people with five loaves and two fishes. They've watched him heal folks who were sick. They've seen him cast demons out of those who were demon-possessed. They've seen all these things. They watch him here, as we read in our passage, curse a fig tree and say that it's going to die. And sure enough, in the morning, the Bible says they went by there and the fig tree was dried up from the roots. Peter remembered that and he just, you know, he says, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And I love what Jesus says. He answering saith unto them, have faith in God. I mean, all the things they've watched, all the miraculous things taking place and everything that has happened. And Jesus just sums everything up. He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, we of course, being in Michigan and at pastor school, everybody, you know, they would talk to us and they'd come to me and say, now, where are you, pastor? And I'd say, in Adrian, Michigan. They go, oh, Michigan. Oh, Michigan. And I'd say, what's the problem? They, oh, we hear how bad it is. Well, it's not that bad. Have faith in God. Amen. I mean, yeah, there are some tough times for a lot of people, but ultimately have faith in God. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, tonight I'm going to talk a little more about not worrying about things, but just have faith in God. Father, I pray that you'll bless the service. I thank you for the good music, and Lord, for everyone who's here, and help us to realize we're not here by accident, but you brought us together. So that we could get something from your word today. And so please give us that. Speak to our hearts. If there's anyone here that's not saved, God, please help them to have faith, to believe, to trust you, and to be saved today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, have faith in God. And throughout the Bible talks about faith. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. In fact, several verses say those very words. Those who are saved, Christians, we're supposed to live by faith. And again, you wouldn't believe that hearing some Christians talk and get all upset about things and everything, but we're supposed to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I mean, we can go through all kinds of motions religiously. We can come to church and go to Sunday school and put money in the plate and all that kind of stuff. And yet the Bible says without faith, we can't even please him. We haven't even started pleasing God without faith. I mean, if we're a kind of people that we've got to see it all to believe it and everything, then we're not even able to please our God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Romans 2 verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Without faith, you can't be saved. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And without faith, I mean, there is nothing as far as what we believe. There is nothing as far as Christianity that even exists without faith. It is all by faith. And somebody says, well, boy, it takes a lot of faith to believe what you believe. It does take faith. It is all by faith. And certainly there are things we can point to. Certainly we have the written Word of God right here. And Lord willing, everybody here has a copy of it in your hands. And we have that. And certainly we can look around and we can see all the things that God has done. And I'm not saying there aren't things to point to, but ultimately it boils down to simply, God, I believe you. I believe what you said. I believe your word, and I believe you, and our life is a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. And that's what it boils down to. You know, it's because of faith. I could go over, as I did in Sunday school, and I could preach to our shepherds. And boy, what dear people. And over 100 people over there this morning, and that's a great, great group, and what a blessing it is. But there's so many things they don't understand and so many things they can't understand. But you know what? They can believe God. They can believe the word of God, and I can tell them very, very easily, hey, God loves you, and if you call on Jesus to save you, he'll save you today. That's how we can tell all the little children that. They don't understand all kinds of deep, deep theological terms, and they don't understand deep science and all that, but they don't have to. What they have to do is what we had to do, and that is simply believe what God said and do what God said to do, and it's all by faith. Someone said this, all great Christians have great faith in God. And that is true. If you're going to be a great Christian, you're going to have great faith. And certainly, we hear stories of George Mueller, who fed thousands by faith. And Livingston and Spurgeon and Brainerd and so many. Understand, nothing is ever done by doubters. Nothing is ever done for God by doubters and unbelieving folks. It is impossible. It will not take place. I want to talk to you about these words Jesus said, have faith in God. And we need to have faith. I mean, we sit here today, certainly the majority of folks in this room are saved people. The majority of people by far in this room, we've trusted Christ as our Savior. I mean, Jesus here told his disciples, have faith in God. I mean, yes, if you're here today and you're not saved, I would say to you, you need to have faith in God. You need to believe that there is a heaven. You need to believe that there is a hell. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And you need to call on Jesus to come into your heart and save you. But I want to remind you, Jesus is talking to disciples who have done that. He's talking to people who have trusted Christ. He says to them, hey, have faith in God. They say, how can these things be? Hey, Lord, look, what you said would happen did happen. And Jesus says, have faith in God. You ever find yourself kind of surprised that it happened the way God said it would happen? Don't be surprised, he's saying. He's saying, you know, have faith in me. You understand, one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. Amen? And I think it's going to be soon. I really think it's going to be soon. And the Lord Jesus is going to shout, and we're going to go. And I think there's going to be a lot of Christians saying, what happened? Oh, listen, he's saying, have faith in God. Have faith in God. It's going to happen one of these days. And it may be sooner than we think. It is a time when we don't think it's going to happen. It is going to happen. And this faith, he says, have faith in God. Let me give you some things about faith that I think will be a blessing. Number one is a picture of faith. Here's a fella. Look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. Here's a fella we don't really talk about a lot, but Stephen, is the Bible says about him, it says he's a man full of faith. And so we see here a picture of faith. Here's somebody who was full of faith. Here's somebody that believed God. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Look what it says. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Here's a man that is full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And I think the two go together. But he's a man. Here's a picture of faith. Now certainly he had faith in Christ for his salvation. There came a time in his life where he realized he was lost. He realized he was a sinner. He realized that he needed something. He needed to be saved. He needed some way to get to heaven. He realized he could not work his way to heaven. And by the way, folks, you can't work your way to heaven. You can only be saved by trusting Christ as Savior. And by faith, Stephen trusted Jesus as his Savior. And that's where all faith begins, by the way. Everything begins at the cross. As the quartet sang, there's room at the cross. Let me tell you, faith begins at the cross. It begins at the cross. You say, well, I came to church today. What a wonderful thing. I'm so glad you did. And I'm listening today, and I heard that song, and I heard the choir special, and I heard the other songs, and that is a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. And preacher, I hear you saying that God loves me. And I hear you saying that I'm a sinner, and I know I'm a sinner. And I hear you saying that that I need to trust Christ as my Savior. And you know, there's only one thing now missing. You heard it, now you got to believe it. Now you need to believe it. Because I heard all of it too. I heard it as a teenager. I heard it as a young person who would go to church and hear lots of different preaching and have gospel tracts handed to me. And people would talk to me and tell me that I was on my way to hell. And I heard all those things, but I had to believe it. Now listen, do you believe it today? Do you believe it today? I mean, do you believe that if you would trust Jesus as your Savior, He would come into your heart, He would save you, He'd give you a home in heaven? Well, that's what it's all about. It is a matter of having faith in Christ, in Him alone. You say, well, I'm a member of a church. I go to church. I grew up in church. Any answer other than I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, it's not a good answer. And it's not the right answer. You need to have faith in Christ for salvation. Everything begins there. No Bible faith without this first. There is nothing without this. Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior today? And don't just be casual with it, because it is the most important decision that a person makes in their life. Trusting Christ as their Savior. Faith in Christ. Stephen was a saved man because he had faith in Christ for salvation. But you know, he also had faith in God's leadership and God's will. It's amazing how many of us we really struggle with following the Lord. You know, God will speak to us in church, but we tune that out. Maybe we apply it to someone else. It happens all the time. You say, how do you know about that? Because I've done it. I've sat where you're sitting. Well, maybe not way back in the back. I don't know if I've ever sat that far back, because I don't know if I could see anybody. But I'm just saying, you know, I know exactly how that is. We want to apply it. Yeah, boy, they need that. Oh, look at those teenagers goofing off. They sure need to hear what he's saying. No, we all need to have faith as in God's leading. Now, Stephen, you know, the Bible says he was a man full of faith. But again, Stephen is led to preach before a council that eventually is going to have him killed. But God led him to that point. Certainly, he could have avoided that. Certainly, he could have gotten away from that. As God leads us, for example, to be on a bus route. Oh, you can avoid it and you can run from it and not do it. As God leads you maybe to teach a Sunday school class. Well, you can avoid it. You can get away. As God leads in an offering, you know, to put that money in and to put extra in or whatever it might be, or to help out a missionary or help out here. Certainly, we can stop. Well, wait a minute. You know, I don't want to do that. But then we're not exercising faith. Faith is to say, God, I'll do whatever you say. Faith is to say, God, I trust you. I trust you. Stephen is preaching to a council a message they didn't want to hear. He's preaching a message that was very unpopular. He's preaching a message and talking about God in a way he knew these people would not like it one bit. You know, it's interesting. He knew the Word of God. Look at Acts chapter 7. I'm not going to read through all of this. But he then said, the high priest, are these things so? And that just opened the door for Stephen. You know why? Because he believed these things were so. And he goes through and gives a Bible discourse proving how well he knew the Word of God. Hey, you say, how did he have such strong faith? Well, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have evidence here. Stephen knew his Bible. He knew the Word of God. And he goes through and he gives a history. And again, understand this council that is literally trying him, they're not happy with this message. I can imagine, the Bible says later on, they gnash on him with their teeth. I can imagine he can just see their blood boiling as he preaches to them from the Word of God. But he trusted God. I mean, do you know, Stephen probably knew at this point, as he watches this crowd get angrier and angrier, he knew, yes, God can get me out of this, but it's possible God won't. It's possible that this is it. This is my last message. This is my last meeting. This is the last time I will speak. But you know what? He trusted God. Faith in God's leadership. By the way, every invitation we give, it is just like that. God spoke to my heart, but I don't want to go forward because that'll make the invitation longer and I might not get to the restaurant. Oh, you'll get there eventually. You know, well, I would surrender to the mission field, but I'm afraid God would put me on the North Pole. Uh-huh. But see, faith says, God, I trust you. I'm not worried about where you put me. I want to be where you want me to be. I'm not worried about what, you know, folks, honestly, invitation time isn't always, well, God didn't specifically speak to me. Sometimes it's just you speaking to God and saying, I surrender all. That's faith. Faith is to say to God, I surrender all. Faith is to take your checkbook and say, here, God, this is yours. Now, God wants you to pay your electric bill. God wants you to pay your gas bill. God wants you to pay that mortgage. God wants you to pay your bills. Don't think that God doesn't want that. But God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to trust Him with overtime. God wants you to trust Him with the gifts that He gives. God wants you to trust Him with your tax refund. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to trust Him through these tough times. It's amazing how we, so many people get the idea, God must be really nervous about all this. God's got it all under control. He has it all under control. And I've heard people say, it's just so sad. This obviously isn't the will of God. What do you mean it's not the will of God? Maybe God wants to get our attention. Maybe God wants to find out if we really believe Him or not. Do you? Do you believe Him enough to just say, God, I surrender all? See, Stephen didn't doubt God's judgment. Understand, as the people are picking up stones to cast at him that will kill him, he doesn't doubt God's judgment. It may pass through his mind. Lord, are you sure about this? I know there are times things pass through my mind. God, are you sure about this? But faith is to say, I believe you, God. I trust you, God. You open the door, I'll go through that door. I don't know what's on the other side. By the way, faith doesn't know what's on the other side. Somebody said, faith can be scary. Faith doesn't know what's on the other side. Faith believes God for what's on the other side. We do know what's on the other side as far as heaven's concerned. And ultimately, the worst thing that can happen to us who believe, worst thing that can happen is we die and go to heaven. Worst thing that can happen is you don't ache anymore. Worst thing that can happen is those of us who have bad eyesight will be able to see perfectly. That's the worst thing. Worst thing that can happen is those who are deaf are going to be able to hear. Hello? Worst thing that can happen. I mean, my wife and I, we've started walking again, and Dr. Brown will be happy to hear that. But we walked the other day. We might have overdone it the other day. I don't know if you can overdo it. I felt like I overdid it. And we walk, and she wants to walk fast. You know, none of this leisurely, let's talk about things together, you know, and all that. It's, you know, we're walking. And, I mean, we think it's fast. Young people laugh, but I mean, we walked a long way, and I am still real sore. Do you understand? The worst thing that can happen to me is I die and go to heaven, and I'm not sore anymore. Do you find yourself needing a crowbar to get out of bed in the morning? Okay, the worst thing that can happen is we die and go to heaven and we don't need that anymore. Everything's great. Yeah. I mean, that's the worst thing. But again, you say, well, you know, you just think you got it all figured out. No, I don't have anything figured out. I believe it. I believe it because God said it. And I believe what He says. And Stephen did not doubt God's judgment. He didn't fear death. He let God lead him. And faith in God's leadership is so crucial for us. Hey, when God speaks to your heart, do you obey and do what He says? That's why I like this song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy. That's for you to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You say, well, I trust. I just don't always do what He says. Then you don't trust. Because if you trust, you will do what He said. And of course, faith in a hard time. And as we all know, there's some tough times going on. But that's really when we find out what our faith is. It's the tough times. It's the hard times. And complete faith in God is you don't really know what kind of faith you have until those tough times come. Years ago, there was a drought, and it brought on a depression, and it was really tough in an area. And it was Thanksgiving Day, and they had a church service for Thanksgiving Day, and they were singing songs of praise, and everybody was just praising the Lord and rejoicing. And a farmer who had lost everything got up and gave a testimony, and somebody said, "We want to hear what you have to say." I mean, he lost it all, and he said this. He quoted Habakkuk 3 verses 17 and 18. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And you know, that's a guy that's just lost everything. But what is it? You say, how can he do that? Faith. Because he knows everything's going to be all right. Have you ever been there? Maybe at a hospital bed. And you just say, God, I know everything's going to be all right. Have you ever been there at the funeral home? And someone that you love is laying in that casket, and yet inside you're rejoicing because you know that's not the end. You're going to see him again. Faith. Faith. You know, Stephen's last hours were not what we would choose to be our last hours, but he was there because that was God's will for his life. And in Stephen's last hours, if you'll notice in Acts chapter 7, he preaches this message to the people there, the council there, and he ends up, notice verse 51, he already can tell he's not making any friends. And he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? See, he's not trying to make friends here. He's just preaching the word. But the Bible says, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. These are people not happy. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. By the way, the Bible doesn't say he saw this as far as he saw this in his mind. Bible doesn't say he thought this because of his faith. Bible says he saw this. He's about to die and he sees Jesus. And I got news for you, that makes death kind of a pleasant experience, I would think. He sees Jesus and he sees him standing at the right hand of God. And he says, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They don't like that either. They cry with a loud voice, stop their ears. You see that? You ever see people get so upset? I watch little kids sometimes, and you're trying to tell them something. I watch parents deal with this sometimes. And they say, now, Johnny, you need to do it. Johnny, that's too common of a name. Now, Poindexter, you need to do this. And they go, la, 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 la. You ever have anybody do that to you? Amen. That's why there's paddles made. But anyway, because, you know, honestly, they'll either get their hands out or that. Well, anyway, but we won't get into that. It's not politically correct. But you know what? They stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it. And they ran upon him. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. You talk about Stephen's last hours. We see madness. These people heard the word of God and hated it. We see manliness. Stephen, with the power of God, he stood for what was right. We see murder as they stopped Stephen, but they didn't stop Christianity. And we see martyrdom as Stephen becomes a martyr for Christ. You say, oh, you know, what a terrible thing. No, that was God's will for his life. That's what God had for Stephen. You say, well, I don't want that to happen. Do you trust God? I'm not saying that will happen. I wouldn't want that to happen either to anyone here. I just want each of us to do whatever God wants us to do. And boy, there was faith. There was faith. And he saw that God had it all under control. There's a picture of faith. This was a man full of faith. Number two, we see a pattern of faith in Hebrews 13. And verse 7, the Bible says, whose faith follow? Go ahead and look there, Hebrews 13. And we know that this, of course, follows Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith. And starting off with faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But in Hebrews 13, it talks about whose faith follow. There are people who we are to follow. In this case, it's talking about the pastor. But there are patterns in all throughout Hebrews 11. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. God says, follow them. There's some patterns you can follow. By the way, everything turned out well with them. I'm talking about folks that had the presence of God. Like Enoch, for example, who the Bible says he walked with God and he was not. Why was he not? God took him. I mean, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that beat going through the emergency room? Seems to me like it would. Wouldn't that beat getting hit by a bus? Oh, amen. I mean, God just took him. They're talking one day, Lord, you know, I sure enjoy being with you, and I hope you enjoy being with me. Blink, he's gone. Isn't that great? I mean, can you imagine Mrs. Enoch, maybe they were sitting down and eating dinner, and all of a sudden Enoch's gone. Hey, you know what? That's how it's going to be when the rapture takes place. If you have lost people around you, you're just going to be gone. That's it. I mean, where you work, you say, oh, you know, they cuss and swear and they don't want to hear about God. And one of these days, the rapture, blink, you're gone. And they're saying, what happened? You know, because you're gone. You're not there. What a blessing. I mean, the presence of God. That again, a pattern. Follow that kind of, what did he do? He just walked with God. That's what he did. Every day, walk with God. You know, every day he just spent time with God and walked with God. You say, you know, I'm just too busy for that. Then where's your faith? What do you believe? What are you so busy with that you can't walk with God? What job do you do that you couldn't have God with you? What thing do you do throughout the day that you couldn't take God along with you? Hello? He walked with God. We see the power of God in Hebrews 11 with Moses. And all that God did and the great miracles that God worked. I mean, Hebrews 11, go there. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Hey, you want to subdue a kingdom? Wrought righteousness, obtained promises. I know folks all over this room, you say, preacher, I want to win people to Christ where I work. I want to be able to talk to people in the school where I go. I want to be able to tell people about Jesus. Hey, here's how you do it right here. Here's a pattern to follow these people. Hey, listen, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. You want an answer to your prayer? How'd they do it, preacher? By faith. They stopped the mouths of lions. You got a lion chasing after you every day. He's called the devil. And like a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. Wouldn't you like to just see his mouth clamped shut? You know, and all he can do is come over and sniff you. Amen? Listen to me. That's what happened to these people. They're the pattern we're to follow. How'd they do it? Bible says by faith. What else? Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Hey, isn't that a good thing? You say, oh, I just can't hardly make it. Well, by faith, they couldn't hardly make it either, but they became strong. Why? Because God blessed them and God gave them that strength. They waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Hey, listen to me. These are great things that happen. Notice, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. All of these had something that you and I need. And it's something you can have, and it's just called faith. Do you believe God? I want to follow people who succeed. I want to be associated with those that have success. I'm not real interested in following a loser. You shouldn't be interested in following a loser. I mean, you can still like the Lions, but you should not be interested spiritually in following losers. I'm amazed at teenagers that they'll, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I want to be like so-and-so. Look at them. Look at so-and-so you want to be like. Divorced? Broke? They used to have a lot of money? Their life is a mess? They're on drugs? Is that really what you want? Boy, I'd be looking for somebody who's a success, who's happy, who's got a happy marriage, who's had a happy marriage for many years. Look for success. And that's what God says. Here's a pattern, God says, I want you to follow. And you know, follow people who succeed. I mean, to be honest with you, when I have difficult problems, who am I going to call? Am I going to call Dr. Tom Williams for counsel, or will I ask some freshman in Bible college? I know too many freshmen in Bible college. But you go to somebody who's had success. And follow these in Hebrews 11. Follow godly examples. God bless them. And God says throughout this, who? Through faith. How'd they do it? Faith. Enoch, Abel, Noah, Abraham, by faith. Sarah, by faith. Jacob, Joseph, Moses, by faith. The people of God, by faith. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Well, that would have taken faith. Oh, look at that. There's a wall of water over here and a wall of water over there. What are you going to do? You're going to walk through. That's what you're going to do. How are you going to do it? Oh, and we all like the story. Oh, well, bless God, I'd have been the first one. Right? Yeah, you would. And if God dried up Niagara Falls and you happened to be there, or the Horseshoe Falls, and somebody said, okay, will you walk under that? And it's just all holding back. Would you be the first one? Uh-huh, right. I know we're all so brave, aren't we? I'm just telling you, by faith, they did. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, they passed through, they walked on, and they watched the Egyptians drown in the same path that they just walked. Amen. Amen. But it's a pattern to follow. You know, when you start to feel, I just don't know if I believe like I should, and I just don't know if I'm where I ought to be. And go to Hebrews 11 and just read that. And I'm going to tell you, you talk about a prescription for victory. You talk about reading something that'll get you fired up by faith. And it had nothing to do with where they went to college. It had nothing to do with what kind of grades they made in high school. It had nothing to do with anything else but one thing, and it's faith. God, I believe you. Did you understand that the smallest child in our church can believe God and great things are going to happen because they believe God? The oldest person in our church can just simply, it's just a matter of believing God. Well, I just don't have the strength that I used to have. You don't have to. You need to have more faith than you've ever had and just believe God. A picture of faith, a pattern of faith. And the last thing we see, number three, is the products of faith. Jesus said back in our text in Mark chapter 11, he said, have faith in God. He says in verse 23, he says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You know why there's so many long faces in Christianity today? It's because we really don't believe that. We really don't believe that God will move the mountain. We really don't believe that God will deal with the trial. We really struggle, and we count on so many secular means of getting what we want instead of saying, God, I'm trusting you and I believe you and I know that you can do it, God. He says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe. Believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. Amen. Just believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. The products of faith, God answers prayer. 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 What a product of faith. The person who has faith, they can pray and they can believe God. I hear this. Yeah, they seem to pray their way through everything. That's the way to get through everything. Amen. I mean, it's a whole lot better than fretting and worrying. Prayer, God. Prayer is a product of faith because you have not because you ask not. And people who have not, I'm convinced, they don't ask. They don't pray. You cannot sit here today and say, oh, preacher, I've prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, and I'm starving. You're not. I've prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, and I don't have a roof overhead. I'm sorry. My Bible says, if you have faith, God's going to take care of that. Believe Him. Believe Him. Prayer. One of the great products of faith is I can talk to God. I can ask Him for anything. Another product of faith is peace. Peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. Peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God says, I give you peace. But that peace only comes if you have faith. That's why so many Christians, it's like, oh, what are we going to do? Peace that God gives, a peace that passeth all understanding, that's a product of faith. Well, you think everything's all right. Everything is all right. It is all right. Oh, sure. Yeah, you've got enough fat to last you for a few weeks. I'm going to die. Yeah, it is all right. And I do. I'm sure I could live without a few meals. I got a lot stored. That was wise, wasn't it? Peace. Peace is not the absence of trials. It's peace within the trial. That's peace. It's if the storm's raging all around, you're smiling. If things are seem to be bad all around, you're able to say, I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. Peace. That's a product of faith. And today they're trying to bottle peace. Oh, there's every kind of prescription in the world for peace. Hello? every kind of antidepressant, every kind of thing that'll numb your brain so you have the peace they're talking about. The problem is when the little pill wears off, oh yeah, they got beer, whiskey, that kind of peace in a bottle. Yeah, I'm not worried about anything. Yeah, well, you're going to, when you have your hangover, you're going to be back to the same old problem again. I'm talking about peace that you don't need any kind of pill or any kind of liquor or any kind of anything else. God just gives you peace. God gives you peace. Hey, you know, that's, show me. I can't show you. I believe God. It says, my God shall supply all your needs. So I know my needs are going to be met. Doesn't mean I'll drive as nice a car as I'm driving now. I mean, I like my car, but he's going to provide my needs, and I don't necessarily have to have a nice car. That's just a blessing of God. Are you all listening to me? You know, I see folks drive clunkers, and I think, well, praise the Lord. I've driven a lot of clunkers. Amen. Remember the old four-door that had the hood liner all fallen down, and you had to move it sometimes if you turned around, that you had to move the headliner out of the way? And finally, we just tore it off. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's all right. God provides our needs. We don't even have to have a car. People get along very well without cars. Now, I like my car. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, God's going to take care of my needs. And I know that. And I've watched him take care of those things. And so I have peace. Well, we're stocking up. Stock up. That's all right. I'll come visit you when things get bad. And I believe that's how God provided. Peace. Here's another product of faith. Proof. No, notice, go back to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. I love that. The evidence of things not seen. Well, prove it. Well, I believe it. Well, you can't prove it, but I believe it. Well, yeah, but you can't prove that God created everything. Well, he said he did, and I believe it. That's my evidence right there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you know what I have with my faith? One of my products, I have proof. I have all the proof I need. God said it. I have every bit of proof that I need. I have the evidence. I have evidence of things not seen. And you say, well, that's not real evidence if it's not seen. Oh, it's real evidence to me. I believe it. Well, you're nuts. I'm doing pretty well. Well, you're crazy. Yeah, I'm not having to get drunk to make it. Well, you're out of your mind. Well, I don't have to take drugs to keep going. Well, what are you going to do when things get bad? I'm going to have the same evidence that I've had when things are good. What's that? I believe God. I believe him. I believe him. Well, what about when you're on your deathbed? I hope I still believe him like I believe him now. That's my plan. I've watched a lot of people go to heaven, and I've never seen anyone who's trusted Christ as Savior. I've never seen anyone upset. I've seen a lot of people smile. I've seen them look into the distance, and I think they saw something I didn't see. Amen. Amen. And he says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. So I believe with all my heart that it'll be that way when I go. If it's like Stephen and I'm being stoned, okay. I don't like that idea. I've grown very accustomed to my face. And I don't like things being thrown at it. And I don't like swords piercing the skin. I like my skin. But again, you know, I believe God. I trust God. And things are getting tough, and things may get a lot tougher for God's people. There are laws that are absolutely terrifying in reference to God's people. Unbelievable that they're even being talked about, but they're close. They're getting real close. And you know, I'll be honest with you. It's one of those, but I have proof. I have, without a doubt, proof. Well, what's your proof? I believe God. I believe him. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author, he's the finisher. And I believe him. And I'm steadfast in that. And I'm steadfast not from a changing world, because the world's changing all over the place. I mean, it's becoming amazing, all the things. But I have faith in a Christ who never changes. He never changes. There's proof. Another product is power. Look at John 14, verse 12, and I'm just about done. John chapter 14 and verse 12 is another product of our faith. And I'm convinced that God's people need to believe this with all their heart. John chapter 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He that, what? Believeth on me. I mean, faith. The product of faith is power. Believeth on me. Power. You know, I'm convinced most Christians don't believe there's ever going to be another revival. Most Christians have given up on lost people getting saved. You say, why do you say that? Because you don't ever tell anybody. You're convinced that everybody's going to cuss you out. You're convinced that nobody wants to hear it. I'll be honest, there's a lot of people don't want to hear it. Talked to somebody the other day, well, I don't want to hear that. I don't need that. Huh? There's power. We sing there's power in the blood, and we only think that's for salvation. There's power. There's power of you going and giving a gospel tract. We had somebody saved just this last week. Somebody left a gospel tract at their house, and they read it and wrote me a little letter and sent it to me and said, thank you so much for giving me this paper. I read it and I prayed, and we're going to visit the church someday. They just read a gospel tract. There's power. You say, well, you know, it doesn't work that way with me. It will if you'll have faith. Do you understand? There's someone out there. Okay, so 10 people cuss you out, but there's one person that says, I've been waiting on somebody to come by. I've been waiting on you. I heard you went to Berean Baptist Church. I've been waiting on you. Power. Power. That's a product of faith. And then prosperity. Prosperity. You know, faith, there is no better way to live than by faith in the Lord. Because prosperity, first of all, he saves us. Doesn't get any better than that. I mean, you understand, if you're saved today, you're going to heaven. Tell your face. And you might smile. I mean, if I told you today, hey, guess what? I've provided all expense trip to Hawaii for everybody in the room. Well, there'd be some that wouldn't be happy because you'd have to fly. It amazed me how many people are afraid to fly. But, okay, well, we'll let you go by boat, all right? Or we'll let you go by train. It's underwater. But, hey, you know, we'd be all excited if somebody, hey, we're going to give $1,000. We're going to give everybody $1,000 as you walk out the door. You'd be so excited. But guess what? I'm going to heaven where the streets are paved with gold. I'm going to heaven where the gates are made out of pearl. I'm going to heaven where there's no sickness, no pain, no death. Funeral directors will be out of jobs. Amen. Doctors will be out of jobs. No nurses. No more sticking me for blood. Glory to God. I'll be able to eat sugar. I'm going to live next to Lake Sugar. On the other side is Chocolate River. Amen. And I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. I'm just saying, it's pretty good stuff. God's salvation, it's prosperity, it comes from faith. Why are you so happy? Because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, that's why. Amen? What is it that makes you so glad during these tough times? I'm so glad because Jesus loves me, and he saved me, and he's given me a home in heaven, and he's going to take care of me, and he uses me. And how do you know that? Because I believe it by faith. By faith. By faith. Someone said this, outlook determines outcome. And I got news for you. Some of you, the way you look is the way you're going to be. And you say to your spouse, you say, why does everybody treat me like? Well, it could be because you're. And as long as you're, they're going to all treat you like. Because that's how you are. It's so terrible. That's your outlook. My outlook by faith is it's so good. I ask Bob Wilbar all the time. I'll say, how you doing, Bob? And he'll say, never been better. And I say, you better than you were the last time you said you've never been better. He says, I'm better. That's a good outlook. You say, well, he's getting old. He's going to die someday. What's so bad about that? Right? Why aren't we getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better? Well, I can't see as well. I can't run as well. My heart's not beating as well. My blood pressure's going wacky. And yeah, well, it's just getting you closer to there. I like what he says. I'm not going to say it because he says it. But whenever I'm around people that don't know him, I usually say, I've never been better, because I heard that from him. I like it. You say, yeah, you just think everything's good. It is. That's because with faith, you have it's prosperity all the time. It really is. It's good. You say, well, the just shall live by faith. That's how we're supposed to live every day, all the time. That's the way you can have prosperity in your life. God's got such a great thing. He has so much for us. I wish we'd quit thinking he's done. Amen, Christian? I mean, there are some, we just think he's done. Okay, Lord, take me. Take me. Take me now, God. You know, hey, well, keep working. Be busy. Who was it? The Seventh-day Adventist people that 1944, they predicted that Jesus was coming. Was that who it was, Brother Hawkins, Seventh-day Adventist? I'm thinking Mary Baker Eddy and all that bunch. 1844, yes. And they were so excited about the Lord coming, they sold everything they had and got rid of everything, and they all went up on a hill, and they put on white sheets, and they put white sheets on their cows. Yeah, by the way, I've got that kind of hope, too, because I plan on eating a lot of T-bone steak in heaven. But I'm just saying, you know, and they all went up on the hill, and they all waited. What a waste of time. He didn't come then, by the way. He hadn't come yet, but he is coming. And I'll tell you what, when he comes, I'd rather be busy. And I'd rather be trusting him when he comes. And you would too, I think. Hey, Jesus said, have faith in God. I trust you'll have that kind of faith today. Let's bow our heads, please.